Thank you for that introduction. Yes, it is that time of the year again when the sights, sounds, and smell of the holidays fill the air. And of course, when I give my 10-minute discourse. It is hard to believe that I have been doing this for over 10 years. The White Way broadcast keeps asking me to return, so I have to assume that there have been no complaints. I have so many things to share with you today, so let me begin. But first, let me announce that I have finally retired from my professional life as a counselor. I am no longer employed at the Counseling and Spiritual Care Center of Hawaii, where I worked since 1999. In association with them, I have been giving these 10-minute talks, especially in the last several years when I shared with you some tips on dealing with the holiday blues. As some of you may know, the center is an affiliate of the Samaritan Institute, a national organization with centers like ours throughout the United States and some other countries in Europe and Japan. Our center in Hawaii is unique in that since its beginning, it has had a strong Buddhist connection. It is probably the only Samaritan center with a significantly strong Christian, Jewish, and Buddhist board and staff. When you think about current international conflicts that have overtones of religious conflicts, you know that we will need more centers like the Counseling Center. My experience with the center was an experience in interfaith cooperation, respect, and living. Like my own marriage, we can have religious differences and still have live peacefully together. And even if I'm no longer with the center, I hope you will continue to support them and their efforts. With the thought that this might be my last broadcast, let me rehash some of the ideas and stories that have had a lasting impression on me as a professional counselor and a fellow traveler on the Buddha's path. First, right thought. Right thought is one of the Eightfold Paths. To cherish good and pure thoughts, for all that we say and do arise from our thoughts. It is also a central theme in the Dhammapadas. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts. In other words, if you think good thoughts, you will be embraced by goodness. If you think negative thoughts, you will see the world in a negative light. With a positive attitude, even the most devastating event or situation can be experienced with grace. Try this simple exercise. Stand in a safe place, arms relaxed along the side of your body. You will not hurt yourself, but if you want, ask someone to stand in front of you to catch you if necessary. Close your eyes if it helps in concentrating. Now think. Fall forward. Fall forward. Fall forward. Nothing else. Repeat the instructions to yourself if nothing happens. So what happened? Most people will fall forward. Those who did not fall forward, what happened to you? Well, you must have told yourself, don't fall forward, don't fall forward, or something along that line. In other words, your actions will follow your thoughts. In mindful meditation practice, we become very aware of the fleeting nature of the mind, like a monkey swinging from branch to branch. It takes practice to settle the mind, letting the monkey go where it wants to go, but with positive intent and resolve, the mind will finally settle. You know, I am 73 years old. Among many things that I am losing, like my mind, I am also losing muscle mass. I cannot lift things like before. My legs do not hold me up like it used to. I need to exercise. I need to walk. I hate those things. I am not a naturally physical person. My brain will find whatever excuse it can to avoid exercises. But despite that, I tell myself 3 or 4 times a week, Mel, put your shorts on, put on your shoes, get your drinking water, your bag. Then I open the door and I start walking to my gym. 1.5 hour later, I'm home from a good workout. I feel good physically and mentally. In this time of overdoing things, it might be a good idea to use good positive thoughts and actions to keep safe and healthy. My second idea is letting go, or forgiveness for some of you. Yes, many of our miseries with ourselves or troubles with others have roots in our difficulty to let go. Letting go of our wealth, fame, good looks, youth, etc. Letting go of our ego is so easy yet so difficult to do. Remember the Gatha, Becoming Free by Cecilia Lindell? Yes, let go your ego great, then freedom will be yours. One of my favorite Dharma stories is about letting go. In this village in the country, it was their belief that eating fresh monkey liver from a strong animal was a cure for a particular ailment. And so the village men had to go out into the forest to catch a live, healthy monkey. They brought only a large clay jar full of nuts. The jar's opening was only large enough for a child's hand to go through. They ventured out in the early evening before sunset. They placed the jar down and returned home. No sooner, a young monkey came down from hiding in the trees, smelling the nuts. Then another, and another. They fought for the chance to reach into the jar to get their reward. Eventually, the strongest monkey won and had his hand into the jar. It grabbed a handful of nuts, but as the monkey retracted his hand, it got stuck in the neck of the jar's opening. The monkey would not let go any of the nuts, struggling and struggling to get his fistful of nuts out. In the meantime, as the sun set, the rest of the monkeys returned to their safe haven in the trees. All night long, the strong monkey would not abandon his prize. In the early morning, the village men returned to the forest with a net. Seeing the monkey trapped, they simply threw the net over the monkey. Well, simple, yeah? All the monkey had to do was let go of the nuts, and its hand would slip out effortlessly. Letting go is simple, so why are we having so much trouble? Anger, greed, or ignorance, perhaps. When someone you perhaps trusted offended you, you had a right to feel angry, so angry that you hung onto that anger for years. Yes, we break up relationships, partners, families, good friends, out of anger or refusal to let go of that hurt ego. I like to refer to my third point as ignorance, one of three evils, fires, or sins in Buddhism. Life is full of extraordinary experiences, of contradictions and foolishness that remind us of our humanness, of our bonbu in ourselves. Our ignorance is indeed a terrible thing. Oftentimes, our ego is at the root of those experiences. Many years ago, I had the privilege of visiting India with a graduate school classmate who was returning home after graduation. On the way, we stopped in Hong Kong. One day, after an elaborate lunch on a floating restaurant, walking to our car, a middle-aged American woman with arms above her head sauntered about the parking lot, with at least a dozen Chinese children clamoring for a handout. She reached into her plastic bag of coins, grabbed a coin or two, then made deliberate attempts to dole it to a particular child. She had a look of satisfaction, if not amusement. I felt a disgust in my being. That was truly an ugly American, I thought. The story does not end there. A week later, in my classmate's hometown of Varanasi, or Benares, as it used to be called, one evening after dinner, as the custom for men, we took a stroll through the streets of the neighborhood, chewing pan. Like chewing tobacco, it is made up with bits of areca nuts, slaked lime, and silver wrapped in betel leaves. If you want to know, it tastes terrible, with an astringent-like effect on the throat, leaving the mouth with red saliva. I don't recommend it. Anyway, along the cobbled street, a woman, obviously poor, cradled an infant, approached us, begging for a handout. I had a few US coins in my pocket. With an average rate of 7-1, I thought, what is a few coins? The woman in rags went on her knees, making a motion with her hands from her mouth to the infant. I reached into my pocket, but before I could hand her the coins, my friend grabbed my arms, indicating that he would not do that. He then explained that India has an extensive problem with the poor, many of whom can work but refuse to because they can make more money begging than working, and India needed workers. On top of that, he added, Mel, there are millions of beggars in India. When will you decide to whom you will give and the point you will stop? Wow, that was some twist of fate, from a feeling of generosity to a humble, ignorant fool. And a further twist of fate It was some years later that I made a connection. Remember that woman in Hong Kong and my disgust with her ugly American behavior? Gee, I was essentially no different than her with that poor woman in Varanasi. Imagine, it took years before I had an aha experience. I too was an ugly American. And so we come to the end of this talk. We are indeed ignorant fools with big egos, with thoughts that inhibit our potential and hanging onto things we need not hang onto. And yet, it is only by living our unique lives that we come to realize that. We also come to the realization that that was okay. I was, I am, and I will be okay as I live the rest of my life. Thanks for listening and have a happy, safe, and healthy holiday season.